Certainly, again, I covet your prayers as I seek to share some thoughts from the scriptures this afternoon. I certainly feel the prayers of the saints, though my body may feel weak. I'm thankful that so many of the saints care for us. I'd like to just go back to the book of Judges, Judges chapter 4, Judges chapter 4, reading from verse 16. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of the nations. And all the host of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. For there was peace between Jabin the king of Hazor and the house of Heber the Kenite. And Jael went out to meet Sisera and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn into me, fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a skin of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent. And it shall be, when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here? Thou shalt say, No. Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took an hammer in her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground. For he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. So God subsued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they destroyed Jabin, king of Canaan. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, Praise you the Lord for the avenging of Israel, when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when we wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, and the heavens dropped, and the clouds also dropped the water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even distant Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. And the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until I, Deborah, arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel, who offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak, ye who ride on white asses, ye who sit in judgment and walk by the way. They who are delivered from the noise of archers in the palaces or places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts towards the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah, awake. Awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him who remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people, and the Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. Out of Ephraim there was a root of them against Amalek. After thee, Benjamin, among thy people, out of Makar, came down governors, out of Zebulun, they that handle the pen of the writer. And the princes of Issachar were with Deborah, even Issachar and also Barak. He was sent on foot into the valley. For the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For the divisions of Reuben, there were great searchings of heart. Gilead abode beyond the Jordan. And why did Dan remain in ships? Asher continued on the seashore and abode in its creeks. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people who jeopardized their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. The kings came and fought. Then fought the kings of Canaan and Taanach by the waters of Megiddo. They took no gain of money. They fought from heaven, and the stars in their courses fought against Sisera. The river of Kishon swept them away, that ancient river, the river Kishon. O my soul, thou hast trodden down strength. Then were the horse hoofs broken by the means of the prancings of their mighty ones. Curse ye Mizaz, said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to help, to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber, the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. He asked water, and she gave him milk. She brought forth butter in a lordly dish. She put her hand to the nail and her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer she smote Sisera. She smote off his head when she had pierced and stricken through his temples. At her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. At her feet he bowed, he fell. Where he bowed, there he fell down dead. The mother of Sisera looked out through a window and cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Her wise ladies answered her, yea, she returned answer to herself. Have they not sped, have they not divided the spoil to every man a damsel or two? To Sisera a spoil of dyed garments, a spoil of needlework of dyed garments on both sides, suitable for the necks of those who take the spoil. So let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them who love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. It is always encouraging to read the Word of God. And you know, young people, sometimes we ask ourselves, what is the importance and the relevance of portions of Scripture? And I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul, who tells us that, number one, all Scripture is the inspired Word of God. But he also tells us that this book has been left with many examples in it, so that we might learn from it. And so sometimes as we go back into the Old Testament, it's good to remind ourselves that we are looking at pictures, that we're looking at things that many of the characters that are before us, some did not appreciate and could not appreciate what we see, because the Spirit of God has opened up to us things that were hidden from their eyes. It is important for us to also understand and appreciate the value of the coming of the Lord and the work that he did on Calvary's cross. There were those in the Old Testament that looked forward to the day when God's Son would come. The fulfillment of the promises in the Old Testament would be manifest in a man. And when the Lord Jesus came, for you and I, we have the privilege, the ability in knowing him as Savior now to look back and to see things in a fuller, more truer way. And so we have, as we've been sharing with you today, these thoughts of mighty men and really having a desire, a spiritual desire, that for you and for I, who are men, males, that we would have a desire to be mighty men, to be trained in our youth, to be those who are ready to engage in the battle, to be those who would be taken up into that mount for worship. Because you see, the lad went up with Abraham, the young men remained with the ass, but Abraham took them to say, we go to worship. And so as young men, we want to be those who are trained. We want to be those who are available to God. We want to be those who can be used as instruments to worship God for all that he has given to us in his Son. And we spoke earlier a little bit of Deborah and what a wonderful, beautiful, elegant picture she is of a sister who is in the right place, who is available to God, even though others may be in a different place spiritually. And how God used her to stir a young man, Barak, so that he would go forth in the power and the energy of the Spirit of God, having faith that God would deliver. And even though his faith at the beginning was very small, he couldn't see it. He would not go up unless Deborah went up. She goes along with him. She energizes and she supports him. And so Barak goes up. And in the 16th verse here in chapter 4, and I believe that this is really a verse that may connect us to Hebrews chapter 11, because here we see the faith in action in the life of Barak, because now he pursues after the chariots and after the hosts. And it says, and the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. So when we concluded some thoughts earlier, we left with the thought that there was this battle. We'd mentioned earlier that we see in Cushan-Rishathaim the world. And then the king Moab, we have the flesh. Here we had human reasoning, the intellect, the mind of the world in opposition to God. And I think it's important that God uses a woman to deal with the very hard issue of the intellect. Very often we think that men are more suited to deal with some of these very, very hard things. But it's very interesting how God will not take the strength, the perceived strength of men to say, you tackle that. God is going to take the weaker vessel to deal with one of the most difficult aspects of the enemy, where the enemy attacks the minds of men. We're reminded in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that as it relates to the world, that the God of this age, he blinds the minds of men, lest they see the glorious light of the gospel. And so part of the armor is the helmet of salvation, young people. And it is so that our minds as believers are guarded. Brother John spoke about some of the challenges of this day, the things that we are exposed to. And when he was speaking, I said to myself, you know, he's speaking of the eyes. He speaks of the ears, all of these things that are attached to the head, to the brain. Because when we see things, when we hear things, they enter the mind, they are processed, and then there is an action that takes place. But God has a remedy. God has an answer for what the enemy seeks to put before us. And he brings into view another woman. And it tells us here that Sisera, the enemy, he fled away on his feet. And I want to tell you, I'm very often encouraged by the way the Spirit of God writes. He reminds us that the enemy that we are up against is not a mighty enemy. He is not one who is in any way able to stand against the Almighty God. Perhaps he is one who is more cunning than we will ever be. He's an enemy that cannot be taken lightly. He's an enemy that studies the characteristics and the behaviors of men. But he's also an enemy that really the Word of God says has simply one tool in his toolbox, and that is the tool of the lie. From the very beginning, he has always come to men simply by bringing doubt through a lie into the minds of men. And so whether it's the Word of God, whether it's issues of, well, is there a God or creation, it's always to enter doubt. Has God really said that? And so the enemy here now, with all of his minions are routed. Not one man is left to stand before Barak. And here is Sisera, this great warrior. And what is he doing? He is fleeing on foot. He is a man who is completely exposed by the Word of God. He cannot stand in the presence of Barak. Chariots gone, his mighty men are gone, and he's now fleeing for his own life. And the Word of God tells us that he comes to the tent of Jael. If I had a caption for what I'd like to share with you, it has to do with pilgrims and strangers. And this is the character that as sisters in particular, brothers as well, that the Spirit of God would like to impress upon our hearts that we need to have pilgrim character. We need to be those who see ourselves as strangers in this world. And so it means that we have to adjust our thinking. You know, when it was the matter of Deborah, it was very public. Deborah was under a palm tree. The battle was very public. But now it becomes very private. Here's Jael. Perhaps, and I would think, she was unaware of the battle that had raged just a few hours ago or days ago, perhaps. And here is this warrior, Sisera, this fierce man, that meets her at her tent. And you see, young people, this is how the enemy is. You see, he first starts out in the world. He casts a very broad net. And we're in this world, but we're not of the world. The Lord could have taken us out of the world, but he says, I pray for them that they be kept while they are here in the world. And he knows that God is able to keep us. And so the enemy has his net cast in the world. But then eventually what happens is that he draws the circle closer and closer until it comes to right where I live. It is the tent aspect here. But you know what's beautiful here is that it is to the tent that he comes. You see, Jael, there had been some kind of a peace treaty, if you would, between her husband and the king, Jabin. And so there was peace amongst them. And you know how we said earlier that we have to be those who are mature spiritually. We have to view things from God's perspective. Not only viewing things as man has laid them out, but to be able to say, you know, that might be a relationship that my husband has established. But you know, that's not one that I can agree with. And so Sisera, he comes and he's seeking refuge. And you know, I think very often, young people, that the enemy of our souls understands that we understand what is out there in the world. And very often we're not going to be out there in the world and be so involved with those things there. Because we say, you know, I know that's not right. And I know I can't be exposed publicly. You know, I'm not going to be walking down the avenue where they have all of the big theaters now and walk in, or, you know, some big club and coming out at 2 a.m. Oh no, but see, the enemy draws now right to my tent. And so he enters my home now through technology. He enters my home now through the books that I read. We had an experience some time ago with a problem with a young lady at a young people's gathering. We had to go through her knapsack and what have you. And you know what was discovered? A whole set of books. Love books, Harlequin romance. And you know, this is where the enemy comes. You see, because I've got a knapsack, you have a knapsack. You have your room, I have my room. Your parents sometimes are in their room next door. and they think that you're sleeping, and you've got your iPhone, your iPad. And they said, well, you know, I said goodnight to Johnny and Sue, and I need to go to sleep. And then Johnny and Sue, oh, in their tent, they're occupied with what's out there in the world. You see, the enemy wants to come to our tents. And see, the tent speaks of something that is not permanent. It is not where we have put down stakes and say, you know, this world is my home. No, oh, no, we have tents. You know, the Apostle Paul was a tent maker. He was someone that says, like Abraham, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasure's all laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And then we hear the knock at the door. And you look out, and it's Sisera. And he says, I want to come in because your husband and the king who I serve, we've made a league. There is a peace treaty. There are things that we have in common that we have agreed upon. And so I want to come in. And here was this woman. And I think the caption in your flyer is wisdom and skillfulness. And you know, we have to ask God to give us wisdom in certain situations, in all situations. But we have to ask him to give us that wisdom that comes from above. Turn with me just to the book of James, because I like to turn to the Word of God so you have certain things to write down in your books. James chapter 1. And it says here, James chapter 1. Verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And then turn over to chapter 3. Read verse 13. Who is a wise man? James chapter 3 verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good life his works with meekness and wisdom. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by them that make peace. And I believe, beloved, that Jael, this woman who is now standing before this very fierce warrior, that she's asking God, what should I do? And she opens her door, and perhaps you might have said, you know, we can be very judgmental. Well, I would never open my door. I take a look out the tent, and I see who it is. You know, we might do this with some who come with books, and you peep through and say, no one's home. But Jael opens the tent door, and it says she went out, excuse me, to meet Sisera. And she said in unto him, turn in, my Lord, turn in to me. Fear not. This is very unusual. And I want to tell you, you can only take this approach if you are guided and governed by the Spirit of God. You need to be a sister, a brother who is under the control of the Spirit of God. To be able to open the door, to go out and say to the enemy, turn in unto me. Oh, it is here that God wants to use the weaker vessel. You know, I love the Apostle Paul where he reminds us that God takes all the simple, the seemingly foolish things to confound the wise. And he takes this young woman, Jael, one who is by herself, to open and say, come in unto me. And it says, when he turned in unto her, she covered him with a mantle. Again, very strange activity. Here's the enemy. and I want to make him feel at home in my house. But you see, Jael lived in a tent. Jael had pilgrim character. Jael had on her mind that she was not there to be in a permanent place. Oh, she was amongst the people of God. And her husband, they were in a very, very unique place. And if I remember the setting properly, they were in the area of the tribe of Ephraim, a place of blessing. I think it was the same area that Joshua lived, abundant blessings that God had given. And so she had come in, her and her husband had come in. And yet there needed to be something to be done with this one who was the enemy of the people of God, the people to whom she had come amongst. And she says, come in, I'm going to make you comfortable. Oh, he had been running. Oh, she probably could hear his heart panting. And she gives him a mantle. And he has some requests of her. He says, give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink. You know, I wonder when the enemy comes to us. And he has requests of us, because you know he always does. He wants something from us, young people. The enemy of our souls wants something from us. But are we wise enough to say, Lord, how do I handle these situations? Because I am weak. And the Apostle Paul tells us that the strength of God is realized in our lives when we acknowledge and we know that we are weak. But we thank God that he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. And when we ask God for wisdom, for circumstances, the Word of God tells us that God gives liberally. And I believe Jael, as that man was brought into her tent, I believe she was praying in her heart, give me the right answer for him. Not knowing that God had said to Deborah and Barak, a woman would defeat the enemy. Give me to drink. What does she give him? He says, I am thirsty. And you know, when I was reading this portion, I said to myself, I know that the enemy is thirsty. He has a thirst for the lives of young people. He has a desire to come in, young man, young lady, to overthrow your faith, to cause you to sin, to cause you to stumble, to capture you. You know, wasn't it not Lot who was a believer who was captured that Abram and the young men, the 318 of them, had to go down and fight to deliver them? He wants young people to enslave you again. Oh, there's them in this liberty that we have in Christ, free from the domain of the enemy. And yet the enemy has a thirst for your precious soul. He says, give me a little water to refresh me. Brother John was speaking of how the Lord wants to be refreshed as well. And I was thinking, and you know, this is how the Spirit of God works. In that same portion in Genesis chapter 18, with a young man dressed and he brought and there was milk. They knew exactly what to set before divine persons. But here was Jael, a young woman. She also knew. He said, give me water, for I am thirsty. She opened a skin of milk, and she gave him drink and covered him. Oh, she was in a way beginning to render the enemy to put him in a place of great comfort. He says, water. She gives him milk. Some from the Middle East can more readily explain this, but I understand this curdled milk is a delicacy, is something that, you know, you would extend to a visitor, to someone of great who you love that has come into your home. To bring about that warmth, to let them know that you're loved here. The enemy says, give me something to drink. Give me your soul because I thirst for it. a jail said, I'm going to give you milk. And that man, with all of his, you know, military prowess, with all of the desire he had, because, you know, Barak is pursuing him. God is on his heels. He feels that he has security here. And I want to say this to those of us who are young mothers, young sisters, that we are the very first line of security for our children, for the saints to know that the enemy wants to come in, that he wants to come into our homes, and to be able to know what to give the enemy to bring about his defeat. She gives him milk. Now look what the enemy says in verse 20. He said to her, it says again, he said unto her, stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee and say, is there any man here? Thou shalt say no. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 1. Is it possible? Is it possible, young people, that you and I can be a cover, a covering, a shroud for the enemy? Here's the enemy saying to Jael, I want you to stand in the doorway. And I want you to hide me. I want you to cover up the fact that the enemy is in your tent. And when someone comes and says, is the enemy there? I want you to say no. Mom, Dad, listen, honey, what is that that you're playing? What are you listening to? Where are you coming from? Who are those people? Oh, they're just friends, Mom. They're just friends, Dad. Don't worry about it. They're school people. Oh, honey, where are you going to school dressed like that? Well, you know, we're having a little special thing at school. And they say this is the dress code for today. Oh, where are you going, young man? You know, you want to show all your pecs and this and that. You know, why are we so occupied with the body? Well, Dad, you know, the president, and this is my country, the president and the first lady, they have this thing about obesity. So I'm just trying to get in shape. Oh, but it is the occupation with the things of the world and the views of the world and the flesh of the world and no occupation with spiritual things. We are covering up for the enemy. He says to us, stand in the doorway. And when the brethren ask you, well, we haven't seen you recently. Is all well with you? You can't say, like Brother Hans, all is well. Oh, you're covering up for the enemy. Read Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. It says, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. It says here, the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Young people, let us not be those who find that we are in counsel together with those who hate the Lord Jesus. Let us not be comfortable with those who are enemies of Christ. Let us not be building our dreams with young people in relationships of those who stand in opposition to the cross of our Lord Jesus. The Word of God says, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Can it be that these things could be true of us, that we are standing in the way of sinners? There is a path, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And when the saints and your parents look at that path, and they just look out there, are you standing in the way of sinners? Are you there commingled together with them? Are you joining in the things that they say are things that are fun and happy? And things that you know are sinful, things that are going to destroy you. And the Word of God says, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. I remember when I was much younger, still playing football, and we had a holiday, and some of the teenagers invited some of us who were a little bit older to come down and take some licks from them. Guys like Brother John Ajami's son, Thomas's, big fellas. And when we finished playing some football that day, there was a young man who was a believer. And as we cooled off and had some soft drinks, I looked over and there were some fellows who had joined in who were clearly not believers. He was in the midst of that circle. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you know, that young man is in trouble. And it wasn't but a short while later, just a few years, because you see, years go like that, that this young man was away from the Lord. His life was destroyed. He had done some things that put him in jail. And you know, when you would talk to him and some would visit, he would hang his head and says, I don't know how I ended up here. But you see, the Word of God says not to counsel, not to stand in the way or sit in the seat of sinners, because the enemy is always on the job to try to stumble and overthrow. So he says to Jael, stand in the door. Cover for me. If a man comes, the enemy is not here. I'm going to take a rest. She had put him to sleep, made him comfortable. And you see, this is what happens with the enemy. He can get very comfortable in the tent. But the enemy did not know that that day was going to be Sisera's last day upon the earth. Because there was a sister, Jael, and her name means climbing. And it has along with it the thought of the goat who is climbing to great heights. Because you see, he couldn't see in her heart that she too was a warrior. That she too was one who was to be an instrument of God. That there was going to be a great victory that was going to be wrought through Jael's hand. And you know, young sisters, I want to emphasize, I want to employ to you that you can be an instrument that is of great blessing and victory to God. That it comes first from relying not on your own wisdom, your own ways, but relying upon the wisdom that comes from God. And then being one who is skillful. Jael had a tent. She was a pilgrim. She was not one who had been given a lot of land there in the land of Canaan. She had not been told to build as Joshua had told the children of Israel. Here is the inheritance. Go out, get the land, acquire it, drive the enemies out. Jael lived in a tent. She was happy to be amongst the people of God. She had been changed from some relationship that she had come in contact with God's people. And she enjoyed dwelling where God's name was. But she dwelt in a tent. And young people, young sisters, young men, we need to have pilgrim character. With everything that we get, with all of the trappings that go along with being here on earth, going to school, doing well, getting a degree, working, all of those things. If you lose the pilgrim character, the enemy has got you. If you lose the thought that I'm a stranger here below, the enemy has your heart. There's nothing wrong with going to work and having a nice place to lay your head. There is something wrong when that place becomes my occupation. There's nothing wrong with driving a car, but when that car becomes what is my idol, then there's a problem with that. I have lost the pilgrim and stranger character. And the enemy is going to come in, and I'm not going to have the tools, the wisdom, the knowledge to how to deal with the enemy. So the enemy, he is now comfortable. Could it be? You know, I can't imagine me being in this kind of position. The enemy comes in. I wouldn't ever think of inviting him in. But God gave her the wisdom. Draw him in. Give him milk. He wants water. Give him milk. Give him a mantle to cover his body. He had been out in the elements. And he says, stand in the way and hide from me. And she stands in the way. And he goes to sleep. And what does this spiritual woman do? It says in verse 21, then Jael, Heber's wife. And you know, The Spirit of God could have simply said, then Jael. But the Spirit of God wants us to know that this woman, who is now under the control of God himself, belonged to Heber, the Kenite, who had come in amongst the people of God, who had this alliance with Jabin. It was this woman, this vessel, that God was going to use. You know, young people, never sell yourself short. You might think, look at me, what do I have? And we have examples in the scripture. The boy there with two loaves of bread, five fishes. What do you have in your hand? Oh, God wants to use what we have, young people. And so Jael, Heber's wife, she took a nail of the tent. Boy, I tell you, the Spirit of God, the mind of God. She didn't have to go out and find the sword of Goliath. She didn't have to figure out, what do I have to do to take down this great warrior? You see, I would have looked for some weapon, some real strong weapon. But she goes. She says, I'm a pilgrim. And you know all I've got is that tent pin. And she takes the nail of the tent and a hammer in her hand. And you know, beloved, these things speak to us of the Word of God. The hammer, you know, what are we going to use against the enemy? Is it going to be my intellect? Is it going to be whatever else I can think of? Or I'm going to bring the Word of God. And so to be able to bring it, we've heard today, thy word have I hid in my heart. You see, you're not always able to walk with the literal scriptures in your hand. And the enemy is going to come up against you and he's going to say, you know, it's okay to do that. It's all right for you to look at that. But then to be able to bring a verse up into your mind that says, I will not defile myself with the king's meat. Oh, Daniel wouldn't take of that. Oh, should these eyes look there or should these eyes be fixed upon him? Oh, we've heard about being careful with young women and sisters. And was it not Job who said, what did he say? I've made a covenant with mine eyes, right? Oh, to know the word of God. So Jael knew what was the appropriate tool for victory. And it was not going to be someone else's instrument of warfare. It was going to be the tent pin. And as the enemy laid, and I want to say this to you, sisters, the word of God is for you as well. Sometimes, perhaps, this is something that is implied, that it's just mostly important for the brothers to know the scriptures. Perhaps we've given that impression because brothers speak publicly, brothers are to move in this way. But I want to tell you, had Jael, in a figurative way, not known the value of the pin and the hammer, the enemy would have routed her. And as young sisters, as older sisters, let us spend time in this book. So that, first of all, that the enjoyment, the beauties of Christ, might be known to us. You know, sometimes perhaps we give very often the negative side, and you know, we like to say that Christ preached more in hell than he did heaven, that there are many warnings in the Word of God because we are subject to these things. But you know, I believe also that the Word of God has been given to us that we might go into this great inheritance and that we might be able to enjoy the beauties that are found in Christ Jesus, to know him as the Lamb of God, to know him as the man of God's delight, to know him as the Son of Righteousness, who will come one day with healing in his wings unto the nation of Israel, to know that in that millennial day he will be established as the one who reigns and rules the heavens over the earth, to know him as the Lion, the great Lion out of the tribe of Judah, the one who hath prevailed, and to be able, young people and saints, to be able to sit and meditate upon these things. And to know that we have been brought into great blessings because of what he has done. Let us have a value for the tent pin and for the hammer. It will galvanize your soul. It will energize you. It will give you a purpose in life. It will make Christianity alive and energetic, and it will not feel like we're just going to church and playing religious games. It will be far from the fact, oh, here's Sunday again. I've got to go because, you know, we have remembrance meeting. Oh, it's Monday. It's a prayer meeting night. Oh, no, it's because I'm going to see a person and I'm going to sit around him. And we're going to pray and ask this wonderful person who is all these things that God says he is, all the failures that are in us. Oh, we see all of the beauties in Christ. And we're going to just lay our requests, the things that we stand in need of, at his feet. And then there's the Bible reading. Oh, how am I ever going to get to the point like jail where I know the value of the hammer and the pin if I don't come to the Bible readings? It's there where the brothers, oh yes, oh, they're going verse by verse. Here we go again. Well, you know, I sat as a teenager, 10 years, my wife can tell you, the brethren in my local meeting studied the book of Revelation, 10 years. But you know what? If you ask me something about the book of Revelation, I know something about it. We sat for year after year when they went through the Gospels. And you say to yourself, well, you know, I got saved in the preaching of the Gospels. A message that a brother spoke from John's Gospel. Oh, and I understand that Christ came and he died and went to the cross and he's in heaven. How much more? Well, you know what? When you see how God has opened up things in Matthew, the Messiah, in Mark, the servant, in Luke, the man of God, in John, the son of God. And then you see how these things apply. And then you come into adulthood. Then those who were once being trained can now teach and train others. Oh, I want to tell you, Christianity is vibrant. It is alive. It is applicable for today. Because when the enemy comes to your tent, you must be ready. So Jael takes the hammer, and Jael, it says, he was asleep, and she smote the nail in his temples and fastened it to the ground. For he was fast asleep, and he was weary. You know, you sit here and you say, is it possible that the enemy grows weary? Of course he does. Oh, he's got to be weary going to and from the earth, going up and down looking for you and me and this one and that one. Oh, I forgot that person over there on Continental Avenue. There's a gospel meeting going on down there. Let me dispatch someone over. This enemy of the souls of men, he has got to be weary. And it's here the word of God is brought to bear. And it says through his temples. You know, on Calvary's cross, this is what Christ did. It was there the place of the skull. There the intellect, the politics of men, the religion of men are all seen in that superscription that was written over his head. The place of the skull, the mind, the intellect of men. It was there that God in Christ drove the dagger through the head of the enemy. He has defeated him, young people. And a man who has been defeated and who talks garbage and has garbage in his head is not someone that I want to learn from. The Apostle Paul says, casting down all imaginations. Casting down imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the defeat of the enemy. And it is done by a woman. And now, he has died. Do you know, the Apostle Paul tells us that we too have died. And that we ought to reckon ourselves as such, as being dead in him. The enemy has been defeated in relation to us by that man. And we ought to recognize that we need to be done with him. And I want to suggest and implore young people that perhaps we need to go home and we need to take an assessment of the things that are in our rooms. We need to look on the walls and see what posters we have there that are just from the world. We need to open our iPods and our iPads and let's scroll through the menu and let's see if there are things that are there that we need to delete and be done with. Let us go to our Facebook's accounts and let us look through there and say, you know, is the enemy dead? Or can I see him on my Facebook account? Do I say my favorite book is the Bible and right next to it are books of trash? Do I say that I love the Lord Jesus and I'm a Christian and right there on my Facebook there's 7 or 8 other movies that Hollywood has put out that are filled with filthiness and profanity and immorality? How can these things be so, young people? How can we stand in the door and the question is asked of us, is the enemy in here? And we say, no, he's not. And then our friends come and they say, listen, I heard you were a Christian. Can I come by your church? Well, you know, we're not having service tonight. Because you see, our testimonies are so weak that we can't use the pen and the hammer. And then when those who need help are coming, are calling, we're afraid because we have lived double lives. It says here now that Barak pursued Sisera. But you see, God had given the victory into the hands of a woman. She says, come, I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. You know, I tell you this, I thank the Lord, and I say this very humbly, for the wife that God has given to me. Sometimes, you know, we look at families and you look at a brother and you say that brother's busy for the Lord and that brother's doing this. But you know where our children are one? Number one, they're one on our knees. But it's what wives, sisters are pouring into our children that makes the most impression. It's when they're there from birth, perhaps even before, that you know that little child in the womb, you know, that can't speak. They just feel the motion. You know, every Wednesday night, well, I feel mom going here. Where's she going? Well, she's going to the prayer meeting. And you know, it's a little cool outside and now you got this coat on. Where's she going now? Oh, going to Bible study. And then, you know, that baby is born and there's a rhythm that has been developed. I remember when we had our oldest daughter, it was a very cold day and a brother said, what are you all doing out with this young baby? He said, we're bringing her to the meeting. Because that's where we're going. This whole thing about, well, you know, it's too cold for my son to be out. Really? Did he go to school today? I tell you, we fool ourselves. And I want to tell you, young boys, young girls, older ones, develop a love for the Lord and his things. If your love, and let me tell you this, we say we love the Lord. JL had a love for the Lord. If when I assess things, I say, you know, I know I'm sick. Well, no, I'm not really sick. I want to stay home. Oh, no, you know, they say they're having this thing at school, and I'm really sick, but I'm going to go. But then, you know, my mom and dad says, well, you know, tonight is meeting. Well, you know, my stomach is a little. Then you don't love the Lord the way you say you do. If you find that you can stay home at every chance, every opportunity, and you can't make the opportunity to come amongst the people of God, when the Lord is here to speak, then you need to make an adjustment. Something is wrong. If the things of this world have a greater priority in my heart than the things of Christ, something is wrong. There will be a generation that is raised up or that comes up that knows not God. Don't let you be part of that generation. Be part of a generation that comes up who says, come, let me show you the man whom you seek. that the enemy has been put to death in Christ, and that he's been put to death in my tent. Come, Barak, take his remains out. And then, you know, in closing, my time is to win. Is my time up? Yeah. In chapter 5, at your leisure, you read this beautiful song. Some of you are musicians. And I want to tell you from a musical standpoint, a composition standpoint, you look at some of the songs here in the Word of God. And you look at how the song, and this is, you know, the you think men are intelligent? This comes from God. You know, we study music, and music begins with a theme. And here is Deborah and Barak on the heels of this great victory that God has wrought. Look where the man lays, right there in the tent of Jael. And it was with a tent pin and with a hammer. Oh, this man who had all these chariots of iron. Look at him. Milk, a little mantle thrown over him. And look at him right now. And they begin this song with this great theme. Oh, praise God, for he is mighty. And then, you know, they rehearse what God has done. How fearful it was to walk along the highways in the days of Shamgar. Oh, and to know that God has brought a victory. And in this song, there are those who are noted who would not pick up a finger to help when aid. Oh, there were the noble ones who said, you know, I'm a little too good for this. God makes note of them here. And yes, there are those who rose up. And then Deborah says, awake, you know, in her own soul, she is driving this musical composition. Awake, Deborah, awake, because this is a wonderful strain in this song of what God has done. Oh, what a song that has been composed by Deborah and Barak. To be on the heels, the wings of what God in his mighty hand and grace has done. The enemy has been defeated. Let's not, young men, young sisters, take him in our tent where we stand in the door and we cover for him. Let us know that God in Christ has defeated the enemy. And I want to tell you this last thing. Sisera had a mother too. I want you to think about this. And she knew that he was a wicked boy. And she was benefiting from all of his wickedness. Oh, where is he? She was there in the window waiting for her son to return. And I want to tell you, when God gives us children, sons and daughters, oh, that they might be used for his honor and his glory. Oh, how hurtful. And young people, I want you to know how hurtful it is to parents who love you, who God has given to you, and you turn the wrong way. And there she's in the window. Where is he? She knew something was wrong. Because you see, he was a mighty warrior. And he was going to come back very soon. And he was going to bring the spoils. But you know, she's still in the window looking for Sisera. But he won't be back. Oh, what a sad mother to know that Sisera died. Unproductive, judged by God. We pray that as God has opened up some of these verses to our hearts, that we might be those who are able to sing this wonderful song with Deborah and Barak, and to see how Jael, how the Lord speaks of her there. Oh, she brought milk in a lordly dish. Wisdom from God. And then to round the corner in this song, you know, those of you that study music, you got your main theme, you have these minor subjects that come in, and then you have this point in the music that's called recapitulation, and it's just going down the home stretch, and it is this crescendo. Praise God for what he has done. You know, young people, there is nothing greater than to be in the current of what God is doing, and to be in obedience to his word. And to be those who have called upon him for wisdom. And to be instruments that are skillful in dealing with the enemy. Then we are able to sing. And I tell you, on our Lord's Day morning meetings, we will find that the note of praise goes higher and higher when we are those that are subject to Him in this world. Perhaps one of the reasons why there is the dearth, why there is the weakness, is that we have not, like Jael, submitted ourselves to the Great One who has promised to bring victory. May the Lord add a blessing to His word for His name's sake. Let us pray.